Good day, friends. Again, we come to you, and as you many of you know, we are studying together the book of Genesis. For those of you who are tuning in for the first time, may I say that we followed right through from the first chapter of Genesis, and we're now finishing chapter 20 and going into chapter 21. We've been dealing in our last lesson with Abraham leaving the place of fellowship, Mamre and Hebron, where he walked with God. It was there he received the revelations from God. And each time he leaves that place of blessing, he gets himself into trouble. And so he left that place and came down to Gerar, and he lied about his wife again. We were discussing that in our last lesson. Why in the world didn't he stay in Hebron? Well, he got restless. He went down there to Gerar, and he said to Abimelech, the king of Gerar, "She's my sister." I don't know why, that, now I'm repeating this, I don't know why Abraham ought to be afraid of losing Sarah. Remember, she's at least 89 years of age, and he is 99 years of age, and the living God has just said beforehand in chapter 18, I'm going to give you a boy, chapter 17 and chapter 18, the Abrahamic covenant. I'm going to make your seed like the stars in the heavens for multitude. And Sarah is going to be the one to bring forth the boy. Through Sarah, your seed's going to be called. You're going to call this boy's name Isaac. Told the whole business. El Shaddai promised this to him. And he went down to Gerar, got himself into trouble. And you remember the story of how God stopped Abimelech from sinning against Sarah, but he also made the statement in verse 6, "I withheld you from sinning against me," not only against Sarah, but against me. And I made the statement, and I repeat it, sinning is primarily against God. And the statement that I've made so often, when we fail God, we fail men. Now, the one thought I want to reiterate to you is that God stood by his friend. You know, God always stands by his children. Look at verse 7. "Restore the man his wife. He is a prophet. He will pray for you, and you will live. If you don't restore her, then you will die." In verse 17, "So Abraham prayed unto God, and God healed Abimelech and his wife and his maidservants, and they bare children." God always stands by his people. You remember in the book of Numbers, chapters 22 to 24, you have where the story of Balaam, the prophet Balaam, and Balak, the king of Moab. By the way, the Moabites were the descendants of Lot, as you have in chapter 19. The preceding chapter here. God always stands by his people. When Balak asked Balaam to curse Israel, do you know what he said? He said, "I'll say what God tells me to say. He hath not found sin in Jacob, nor perverseness in all Israel." God is in his camp. And yet you remember that Balaam told Balak how to get round that by breaking down the wall of separation. I'm not going to go into that except to say this, that when Balak says, "You curse his people, you curse his people," all Balaam could do was to bless the people. God will stand by you and stand by me in spite of our failures, out of our failures. And then Abraham confessed his sin to Abimelech, and it's before God. And when Abraham confessed his sin, you remember he was back into fellowship with God. Then God used him to pray for Abimelech. God's confession, when Abraham confessed his sin, he was cleansed. When you and I confess our sins, then we become usable again too. As 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and he is righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. back into fellowship with God, then we're not only forgiven, back into fellowship, but now we become usable vessels again. And even though God had told Abimelech that Abraham was a prophet and that Abraham would pray for him, yet Abraham did not pray for him till he was back in fellowship with God. And so Abraham prayed, and the whole nation of Abimelech's people were healed, whatever it was. Apparently it closed the wombs of the women. It meant a national genocide. That's what it meant. They'd be all gone. So the whole nation was saved through the intercession of Abraham. May I suggest here, in this same connection, what a privilege, what an honor, and yet what a tremendous responsibility is ours. Why don't we stand between God in his righteousness and a world under judgment? Because we don't walk with God. The trouble is we don't get God's view of things. When we see God's view of things, of the world under judgment, men in their sins, and about people sin against God, and God of necessity in his very righteousness must judge sin, why don't we plead with God for men? I think one of the greatest needs today are for intercessors. And yet, you know, and I speak very frankly, most of us Christians who get so busy, sometimes so busy for God, we miss the very thing he would like us to do. To plead with men for God, and then to plead with men for God. To plead with God for men, intercession. To plead with men for God, witnessing. Just one more thing before I leave the chapter. You notice that Sarah, too, was rebuked. Not only was Abraham rebuked, but Sarah was rebuked. You have that in verse 16. When Abimelech said to Sarah, "Behold, I have given your brother 1,000 pieces of silver. Behold, he is to you a covering of the eyes unto all that are with thee, with all others." Thus she was reproved. So both Abraham and his wife were reproved by the world. I plead with you, Christian, as I plead with my own heart, that we should so walk before God that we will not give the world the opportunity of reproving or rebuking us in our testimony for God. I just plead with you today to walk before God so that he can use you to the praise of the glory of his grace. Now we come to the next chapter, chapter 21, and here we have the birth of Isaac. The birth of Isaac. And the Lord did visit Sarah as he had said. And the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age at the set time of which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son that was born to him, whom Sarah bare to him, Isaac. And Abraham circumcised his son Isaac, being 8 days old, as God had commanded him. And Abram was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born unto him. And Sarah, of course, would be 90. Now you find that wonderful truth in Romans chapter 4. We see the birth of Isaac in the first 8 verses. It's a wonderful, wonderful picture of how God took this man Abram, 100 years of age, and Sarah, 90, gave them a boy, as he said. Well, you notice it? Twice in that first verse I read, God visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. The Lord does exactly what he says, and God is always on time. I wish in some way I could bring this to your own heart. When Abram was 100 years of age, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God that what God had promised, he was able also to perform. In Hebrews 11:11, Sarah, through faith, received strength to conceive seed when she was past age. She's 90. For she judged him faithful who had promised. Or putting it another way, God will always keep his word. Your hope and my hope is based on the faithfulness of God to his word. What God says, he will do. And Abram obeyed God, and he called his name Isaac, which means laughter. And then he did something else. He circumcised him as a sign of the Abrahamic covenant. You remember, you find this in chapter 17, verse 19. Chapter 17, we have the Abrahamic covenant, and it's sealed by the rite of circumcision, the outward seal of a covenant that God made with Abraham and his family. You find this in Romans chapter 4, verse 11. And he was circumcised after he was justified. Now please notice, although circumcision is a sign of a covenant, the act of circumcision doesn't make you righteous. You're not saved by any rite of any kind. One is saved by trusting the Savior, putting your trust in the one who died to put away your sin by the sacrifice of himself. Trust in the one who was raised from the dead and exalted to God's right hand to be a prince and a savior. But you see here these first eight verses, the birth of Isaac, and you can just see how Sarah said in verse 6, and Sarah said, God hath made me to laugh, so that all that hear will laugh with me. And she said, who would have said unto Abraham that Sarah should have been given children to suck, and I have borne him a son in his own age. The child grew, was weaned. Abraham made a great feast the same day that Isaac was weaned. Please notice, the word Isaac, by the way, means laughter. You remember in chapter 18 when God said to Abraham, Sarah's going to have a boy from now on. And you remember Sarah was hiding behind the door of the tent, and she was listening into what Abraham and what God was saying, what they were talking about. She was listening in, and she heard God say to Abraham, your wife Sarah's going to have a boy within the year. And she laughed within herself, you remember? And God said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh? And Sarah said, I didn't laugh. Yes, you did. Now she said here, God hath made me to laugh. And Isaac, by the way, the word means laughter. Now in verses 9 to 12, you have another tremendous thing before us. The bond and the free. The bond and the free. Notice, and Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, which she had borne unto Abraham, mocking. Wherefore she said unto Abram, cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, even with Isaac. And the thing was very grievous in Abraham's sight because of his son. Now here you have Sarah talking about her son, and Abraham and his son. You remember that Abram had said to God, oh, that Ishmael may stand before you. You remember that? No, Ishmael is not going to be the one in Isaac. Sarah's going to have a boy, and Isaac shall I seed be, you see. And by the way, you know, if you read on through in verse 12, and God said to Abraham, let it not be grievous in thy sight because of the lad and because of thy bondwoman, and all that Sarah hath said to you, hearken to her voice, for in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Let me just stop here a minute. You know, you can have this problem in the house. If Abraham had not obeyed Sarah in chapter 16, he would not have had an Ishmael. Now, Abraham loved Ishmael. It's what you have in the scriptures in chapter 17. Abraham loved Ishmael. And you've got trouble in the family now in chapter 7, in chapter 16 you had trouble, when Hagar manifested arrogancy over Sarah because she'd gotten a boy through Abraham. You remember we talked about that, family trouble. You got a man and two women in the house, a boy of one wife, one girl, when she was the servant, really. Although Sarah was the one who put Hagar in Abram's bosom and said, get me a boy, which caused family trouble. The works of the flesh always bring trouble, no question about it. But here's an amazing thing, you know. You ladies might like this, but as far as I know, it's the only place in the Bible where God told a man to obey his wife. Did you notice that? God said to Abraham, and all that Sarah has said to you, you hearken to her voice, for in Isaac shall thy seed be called. You see, cast out the son of his bondwoman. He's not going to be an heir with my boy. You got two boys in the family now. I remember that Ishmael is 14 years older than Isaac. Now, I don't know how old Isaac was here when they were having this problem where Ishmael was teasing Isaac, and Sarah resented it. And she said, kick this woman out with her boy. You see, your boy, through Hagar, is not going to be an heir with my boy, Isaac. You got a family problem. I say again, when you and I leave the place of fellowship and walk after the desires of the flesh, we're going to get into trouble. And oftentimes, the footage of the flesh will continue on for years. Now, why did God say to Abram, obey Sarah? Because the promised seed was involved. You remember that Abraham one day said to God, oh, that Ishmael may stand before you. And God says, wait a minute, Abram, not Ishmael. I know you love him, but not in Ishmael. In Isaac shall thy seed be called. The promise was to Isaac. And God has in mind the family seed through whom his son should come into the world would be through Isaac, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, so on. Remember this. God's purpose, God's program is involved. So to you ladies, may I say, don't jump on this verse and take it as that the husband must obey you in everything. It's in one thing that God said to Abraham, you obey Sarah. When you come to Peter chapter 3, you find Sarah's attitude to Abraham if you want to follow her through. But here is one thing, and that is the question of the promised seed was involved. Genesis 3:15. The promise is to Isaac. And yet God gives a promise to Hagar and to Ishmael. For we read in verse 13 down through verse 21, also the son of the bondwoman will I make a nation because he's your seed. I want you to mark the blessing that comes to others when you and I walk with God. God delivered Lot from Sodom. He delivered Lot from the judgment upon Sodom because he remembered Abraham. Now, he's going to bless Ishmael. Why? Because of Abraham. Did you ever stop to realize that when a Christian walks with God, that others are blessed because of that relationship and because of that association? Again, I come back to it. How needful it is for us believers, we who trust the Savior, to walk continually with God, to walk in fellowship with God in accord to His own Word. And you can't do it, my friend, without the Word of God. So I would plead with your heart today as Christians to walk with God. And those of you who are not Christians, remember that even in your own family, if there are believers in your family and you're not a believer in Christ, even you are blessed because of the believers in your family. Don't you forget that. And that when we Christians walk with God, Those who have association with us are blessed of God because of that association. I come right back to it. Do we Christians realize what a tremendous place we have in the economy of God? I think sometimes we forget what we are. Remember, we are the children of one who is God. And that God is the God of glory. That God is El Elyon, the possessor of heaven and earth. That God is El Shaddai. These are the revelations of God to Abraham. And because of their relationship and association with Abraham, they get blessed. You take, for example, this man Abimelech, which we've just been reading in chapter 20, and we see him at the end of this chapter. The blessing of God comes upon Abimelech because of Abraham. And may I suggest this to you, America, as a nation, has been blessed of God for 200 years because of what? Because of the people of God who live in America. I say that very bluntly. I can take you to countries that have turned their back on God, turned their back on the Word of God, and they're no longer blessed of God, economically, socially, or any other way. Why are we so blessed of God? A man from Europe told me the other day, he said, "You folk in America don't know what you have. There's not another country in the world that is blessed like America. The freedoms, the blessings, the joys you have. You don't realize it because you never lived in some of these other countries." I wonder sometime, my Christian friends, what about you and me? Do we appreciate what God has done for us? And oh, the more we walk with God, the more blessing He's going to shower upon us. And believe me, if ever you prayed for America, it's today. If ever you and I needed to walk with God day by day, it's now. It's now. Otherwise, we're going to lose our freedoms. And we're going to follow the pattern of other countries who at one time were real Christian countries. They've gone down the drain. And we're going down the drain because we're turning our back on God. And that which withholds the judgment of God are the people of God who walk with Him. God remembered Abraham and delivered Lot. And God remembered Abraham and blessed Ishmael. And God blessed Abimelech because of Abraham. And when you and I walk with God, the blessing of God is scattered among our friends and upon our nation. I plead with you, Christians, today, if ever you prayed for America, do it now. And if ever you walk before God, it's now. And may this be a day when you will walk with God today in the blessing and the intimacy of His fellowship. And the Lord bless you abundantly for His name's sake.